Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. 14.5 million Americans are out of work, and that's a lot of competition, and it's stressful, and finances are tight. How can social networking help? Joining us today is Sherry Madia. She is social media professor and a co-author of the new book, The Online Job Search Survival Guide, Everything You Need to Know to Use Social Networking to Land a Job Now. Welcome to the show, Sherry.
Thanks so much for having me.
In a New York Times article last week, I read about a human resources expert at MIT who is comparing Facebook to the white pages. She said it's like the new white pages. She said you have to have a profile on a social networking site to make it these days.
For sure. And, you know, there's still a lot of skepticism out there where I have candidates who say, oh, I don't even want to email my resume. Well, if you're not willing to engage in that online space, you don't exist. And so it's about being smart. People shouldn't fear creating a presence online. They're going to need to do it. It's a matter of doing it in a way that's smart and that really positions you in the way that you need to get a job.
People feel like they're just a lot of people, older people. Well, there's really a couple different groups that have challenges when it comes to social media. Older folks, older comes across wrong, but maybe the pre-Facebook generation or the generation maybe in people in their 40s and 50s and on think it's just too far gone, they can't catch up. And then maybe people who've grown up with Facebook now and think nothing of it, maybe they've abused Facebook and have some problems in the future because of how they've used it.
Right. Well, there's some interesting things happening. First of all, it's really not about age. You know, there mm-hmm. is assumptions being made, and I see this with our students at the undergraduate, at the graduate level. We're making an awful lot of assumptions about users out there. If you're younger, you must be engaged. Not true. If you're older, you're not engaged. Not true. And for job seekers, it's important that everyone, whether you're 25, whether you're 65, that everyone accesses. And the first place to start is to assess your online presence. What does this mean? Do a Google search on your own name. So I'd encourage everyone to try this exercise and see what you find. You might find nothing, or you might find that you're surprised by what you find. So a photo from Facebook or a negative comment to a blog post, things like this. You want to try to remove that content that's not aligning with your presence up front, and then build out the presence that you want human resources to see. And for people who say, I don't have time to look for a job this way, I would say to them, this is the smarter, more efficient, more effective, more in control way to do job search.
When you talk about auditing your online presence, I get that you do a Google search, but how do you amend that?
Well, you do what you can. You know, again, it's a very sticky space, and sometimes it's hard to pull down, elements that just won't go away. Someone else has posted, someone refuses to take it down. Mm-hmm. In those cases, you isolate, you address, and you move on, right? Everyone understands that, people can do dopey things, we've made mistakes and so forth. You address it, if that's the best you can do, then that's what you do. You address it, and you move on, and you build out from there. It's really, while it is an excruciating time for job seekers, and they feel disgusted and disappointed and a great deal of pressure, there's also a great deal of opportunity to position yourself in a very different way. And the Online Job Search Survival Guide is really centered on reverse engineering the job search process so that whereas in the past we'd send resumes en masse, we do some cold calling, we show up at job fairs, and we should still be doing a little bit of all of those things, now we can strategically plant the seeds of content in this online space in specific communities where we know job recruiters and human resources professionals will be looking. So very exciting in that respect.
My guest is Sherry Madia. She is co-author of The Online Job Search Survival Guide, Everything You Need to Know to Use Social Networking to Land a Job. Now, if you have used social networking to land a job and have succeeded or failed, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org, or go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. In fact, you can even tweet us at Ann Fisher WOSU. We do it all here, Sherry. We're full service.
Great.
More people are using it in the job search, so it's not a matter of competing. You almost stand out if you don't use it.
You do, and you also stand out if you kind of use it. And by this, I mean, let's take LinkedIn as an example, and I would recommend that everyone, regardless of your industry, regardless of your area of expertise, sign on for a LinkedIn account. It's a fabulous way to create an immediate circle of colleagues and professionals from your industry around your area of expertise. But you want to ensure that you complete your profile, because what we do and what we don't do in that space also sends a message to recruiters. And so if I, for example, see a profile or an account and it's set up, but there's no photo and there's just sporadic information, I'll move on, as will most people. So you want to complete your profile, and then you want to think about past employers, people you know who are in your ideal industry, because this is all about relationship building. You know, people you've gone to school with, and then just simply use the search function in LinkedIn to find individuals and invite them into your network. So it's a great way to establish an immediate and very simple, you don't have to be technically savvy to create a LinkedIn profile, and you can immediately have a really tremendous professional reputation. And then you want to ask past employers and clients for this handy feature in LinkedIn called I Would Recommend. And this functions as an online letter of reference. So you can immediately also get some third-party testimonial that says, great candidate, fabulous work, hard worker, dedicated, so on and so forth. So that would be the first step in establishing a presence.
You know, when I put out a call on Facebook the other day to get comments from folks about using social networking in the job search, I received two comments. Both were from people who said they didn't like LinkedIn. I'm getting those queued up right now so I can read them, but I was hoping someone would call in, because, you know, I guess I can only speak for myself, Sherry, at this point, but I have an account on LinkedIn, but I've never developed it. It didn't seem like, personal enough. It felt kind of mercenary, which I guess is kind of the point.
Well, it's very straightforward. And keeping in mind, this is a space that is centered on authenticity. So if you're on LinkedIn, you are there to network with fellow professionals. Mm-hmm. So I think that actually helps to take the pressure away of why are we here. We know why we're here. We're here to network professionally. And, you know, for people who say, I'm not finding value, this thing isn't working, I don't buy social media, I would say, you know, it's really about education and awareness. So Twitter is a great case in point, where so many people, I don't get it, I don't have time. Well, try Twitter for job search. It's a fabulous tool, and the recruiters are out there. So it used to be, you know, you can't access the HR people, right? Because those folks are behind the curtain, behind the wall, and you can't get through. If you do a Twitter search, and I encourage anyone to do, search.twitter.com and type in a few keywords, IT jobs. IT jobs in Boston. It gives very specific Twitter handles and Twitter streams that are geared solely to job search. Why? Because recruiters need to be more careful than ever. Limited positions, they need to hire the right people. They can't afford to make mistakes. So they're using Twitter to pre-screen applicants. If you're a job seeker, start following those people and get to know them and start to engage. Offer a comment, and before you know it, you'll have established a relationship. And we hear story after story of this led to me sending a resume, this led to me getting an interview, and so forth. So it is a fabulous tool. You have to understand the value that's behind it.
Here's the two comments I got about LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. One is from Debbie on Facebook. She says, I've been disappointed by LinkedIn. It seems to be more about everyone hawking their business slash product and less about actual networking. And then Marlene says on Facebook, I agree with Debbie. LinkedIn has been pitched as a professional networking site, but it really has been one sales pitch after another. Facebook has been useful for commiserating with other under or unemployed folks, but since we're all in the same boat, no one has job leads to offer. And she did say, I'd be interested to hear how someone is turning Twitter into project leads. And you just went through that. But she says all the unsolicited messages she ever seems to get are porn sites for some reason.
Wow. Okay.
I know. I don't have that problem. It's not one of my problems.
She might not be joining the right groups. And, you know, will you see people trying to spam their way through every network? Absolutely. That's part and parcel of this space. But what you'll also see is, you know, some really valuable ways to contribute. The problem with job seekers, you know, people who have just recently lost a job, found themselves in a different position, is that they feel this immense pressure so that they want to, you know, run out into the online space screaming that they need a job. The best thing to do is to start by giving something of value. So position yourself as an expert. Give some expertise. And LinkedIn, for another value add that platform provides, is LinkedIn Answers. So professionals will go on LinkedIn and they will ask a question. If you're the one, and you can search on industry area of expertise, if you're the one who begins to routinely answer these questions, and it's always valuable and it's always interesting and it always adds to the dialogue, you know, boom, you're an expert. And so LinkedIn Answers can become a great way. Commenting on blog posts. Very simple. So you don't have to start your own blog. Mm-hmm. Comment on someone else's blog, and you'll begin to shape a presence for yourself that's really going to position you as someone who should be hired.
What is the difference? LinkedIn, then, is very, as you said, it's very authentic. It is what it is. Nobody's trying to pass it off as something different. Whereas with Facebook, sometimes you don't realize someone's trying to game it.
Well, you know, you have to understand the environments that you're in, the communities that you're engaging in. So Facebook, again, all of these tools really started out as social networking, as ways for friends to connect with friends and family and so forth. And we have taken these tools and said, what can we do with them from a marketing perspective, from other perspectives? So keeping that in mind, you know, Facebook is a different environment, but it's an equally valuable environment for job search because you want to connect also with your base of friends and family and people who you know, because this is about, you know, again, people finding people to get jobs, not people finding companies. And so the things to be cautious about are, you mentioned the woman who said, we use it to commiserate about, you know, how awful the job search is. Please don't do that.
Okay, maybe not a good idea.
I recommend against. We see, you know, Facebook. And again, if you're really wanting to use it for job search, then rethink your content strategy, and we all should have one. It's not the place to vent. It's not the place to complain about how you were wrongly fired and it isn't fair. Not the place for that. It's the place, if you really want to use it effectively, to position yourself. Put your resume on your Facebook wall. Create a Facebook social ad, which is just a little, you know, you can have your photo and your skill sets and what you would add to the company. So there are lots of, and tap into your network. And it's okay to say in that Facebook space, you know, hey, I have these skills. I'm looking for work. Anyone have, you know, some leads? That's okay to do. Again, it's a matter of acceptability, and you have to get a good sense of that before you put out your content.
We're going to have to take a short break. My guest is Sherry Madia. She is co-author of The Online Job Search Survival Guide, Everything You Need to Know to Use Social Networking to Land a Job Now. We will return in a few minutes, but in the meantime, if you want to give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Do you use social networking in the job search? And if you have, has it been successful or not? And if you won't, why not? We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News. The
This is WOSU 820 NPR News. Hear more from WOSU anytime at WOSU.org. Subscribe to podcasts of Arts Unscripted and reviews of the latest books, movies, local restaurants, and theater performances. Podcast stories from WOSU arts and culture contributors at our website, WOSU.org/podcasts. And it's 82 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:20 this morning. Sunshine today, another warm day with a high of 92. Clear skies tonight and a low of 67 degrees. Sunny for Thursday and a high of 91. And Thursday night, there is a slight chance of rain, mainly after 3 a.m. Cloudy skies and a low of 67 for Thursday night. Looking ahead to Friday, there is a chance of rain, cloudy skies, and cooler with a high of 80 degrees. All Sides with Ann Fisher continues. This is WOSU 820 NPR News.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Sherry Madia. She is Director of Communications at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania. She's also co-written a book for job seekers, The Online Job Search Survival Guide. Everything you need to know to use social networking to land a job now. Questions or comments, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Sherry, some folks talk about setting up your personal brand online. What does that mean?
Right. It's about the presence. You know, first thing for any candidate or for any job seeker is to identify where do I want to be, what industry, and what does that industry look like and feel like and sound like, and what kind of a presence do I need to create that's going to align with that, that's going to be attractive and appealing, because this is attraction-based job seeking. And so you want to really think carefully about how you position yourself. Part of the exercise of creating an online presence is also about creating relevance. What do I mean? Well, we look at companies who are charging at social media and thus, you know, making some crazy mistakes inadvertently, but mistakes nonetheless. They're charging at social media. Why? Because they feel that they need social media elements in order to be relevant. And it's the same story for job seekers who, if you want immediate relevance in your industry, create an online presence, because what you do in the social media space affects how you're perceived. You know, rightly or wrongly, this is the way the job-seeking world is today. And so you want to create a presence for relevance. You also want to pay a great deal of attention to consistency. So recruiters are out there, and we know 75% of companies require recruiters to research job applicants online. 75%. So they're looking for you out there. If they don't see you, it's a missing piece of the puzzle. If they do see you and they don't like what they see, mm-hmm. that's problematic as well. So this is about creating consistency. If you're first element of business, very simple to do, is ensure that you have a professional photo. So replace the zany avatar of, you know, your dog or whatever it is. Put up a professional photo and use that same photo across all profile sites, so that you are the same anywhere I find you, in Facebook, on LinkedIn, on Twitter, you're the same. And then, you know, we get this question a lot from candidates, which is, well, I like to use different resumes for different jobs that I'm you know, aspiring to mm-hmm. acquire. Great, that's fine. But the facts can't change. So while we can tweak some things, highlight some areas of skill and so forth, that's completely fine. But if you were a manager of a fast food restaurant from 1985 to 1990, you need to be manager of that restaurant from 1985 to 90 on every site you go. So you cannot change the facts. That is a red flag when we see omissions, when we see changes in things. So be the same. This is a space that is predicated on authenticity. And if you try to be a poser and you try to create this fabulous image that you can't sustain, because keeping in mind, we're doing this online for an offline effect, right? We want the interview, we want the face-to-face, and we want the job. Mm-hmm. So be sure that you can sustain, because it's true, everything that you're putting out in terms of your online image.
So you write that more posts, more tweets, and mentions isn't necessarily better.
Right. This is also a space that defies what we tend to know, right? More is better. Quantity is better. So we have clients saying, I want 10,000, I want a million followers on Twitter. Why? You know, maybe it's not the right followers. This is about getting the right groups of people, and it's about creating the right content. So you don't want to post things that aren't valuable just to say, I've posted something, right? You want to take the time to be strategic, and you want to be consistent about when you post. So if you start to tweet and you have your own Twitter account, do it routinely. If you start your own blog and you're going to blog once a day or twice a week, and the blogs don't have to be long. 250 words or so is about right for a blog post. So if you start to do that, you want to maintain it as a commitment, because that's how you're going to have people engaged and wanting to come back. Now, we hear this too. Oh, it's a wasted exercise. No one's following my blog. I've done this for nothing. Not so, because that blog is something that you'll take the link from that blog back into your resume, back into your letter of inquiry, and you'll tell the next recruiter, hey, I have this blog that speaks to my area of expertise. You might want to check it out. That, again, is a value add. If I'm a recruiter, hey, this candidate can blog. That's really exciting stuff, because every company needs the skill of social media.
We have an email right now. If you'd like to email us, go to allsides@wosu.org. You can also go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page and post something there. This is from Paul. He writes, the concerns I have with social networking sites like Facebook are the security and privacy issues. For example, Facebook has been criticized for unilaterally changing privacy settings to reveal profile information the user did not intend to be public. One must often negotiate complex profile privacy options to set appropriate privacy and continually verify their settings have not been changed.
This really speaks to what people know and don't know and understand and don't about Facebook as a case in point, or any social networking site. For many, there's a sort of a myth that it's a private space, which is why they feel they can vent and they can rant and so forth, and things take a negative turn. It's a semi-private space. So for all intents and purposes, it's public. And the Facebook exercise that your emailer writes about is really, the ultimate outcome of that was that it was found that, people posted that information. It was public information that you could find anywhere. And so I'm not sure, there's always privacy concerns, absolutely. But you want to be smart about what you're putting out there and how you're presenting the information and who you're inviting into your networks. Again, there's two schools of thought, and some job seekers think, well, the bigger the network, the better, right? I want 1,000 followers. I want 1,000 people in my network. Why? Because that's making a statement too. Are you discerning? Who are you including in your network? And so it's not about quantity necessarily. It's about the right mix of people who are going to help you to get connected to the people who are going to give you a job.
614-292-8513. My guest is Sherry Media. She is co-author of the Online Job Search Survival Guide, Everything You Need to Know to Use Social Networking to Land a Job Now. And Stanley, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
I have a blog, and there's an application that you can hook into a WordPress blog and have it go to a site called HelloText, HelloText.com, which in turn will go ahead and post to your Twitter, Facebook, and other accounts all at once. It kind of reduces the amount of duplication you have to do if you want to be across several different sites.
Right, that's a fabulous tool, and it's a way that that does enable. This is about not just posting content, but also syndicating that content and getting it in all the right places. So applications such as the one that you've mentioned, as well as things like Tumblr or TubeMogul, these are all, or Ping FM, these are all sites, and it's free, that enable users to post their content once and then have it go to all of the different sites that they choose to have it posted. So it can be very effective in that way, absolutely.
Okay. Thanks. I'll take the rest of them up here. Thanks.
Thanks, Stanley.
Bye.
Bye. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have another email. It writes, posting too much information on social networks can lead to targeted identity theft and targeted phishing of the exposed user. Once that information is on the internet, it may be there forever. So posting personal information in resumes and blogs can be devastating. What do you think about that? Because a lot of people just post their resume. Is it you just control how much information is in the resume in the first place?
Sure, you do. And, you know, you just, again, it's a matter of where are you posting this and, you know, and how are you posting it? And, you know, it's absolutely, you know, is there no risk? You know, there's always going to be some type of risk. But I think that the opportunity, and again, most of this is public information anyway, right? Some candidates are hesitant to say where they work. It's public information for the most part, and we know this. So it's really about, well, first assess what's the risk, and then assess the opportunity. And I would argue that there's tremendous opportunity out there. I mean, we can all say, well, we shouldn't shop online. We shouldn't bank online. We shouldn't do lots of things online for fear of identity theft. But I would say that it's an online world, and for job seekers, it's really the most efficient way to market yourself out there. And the other important factor for job seekers is that we know this is emotionally draining, and it's a mental game, right? Job seekers get very disgusted and fed up, and no one's calling me, and I know I've got great skills. This enables job seekers to take control of the process and do something toward their job search every single day. And it shouldn't be conceived of as a one-and-done exercise, you know, just until I find my next job. The Job Search Survival Guide really says, no, this is about an all-the-time job search. So we should always be building our networks and creating it so that we don't find ourselves in a position of, yikes, I don't have a job and I don't have a network to rely upon. Build it before you need it so that you'll have it when you do.
Let's go back to that use of particularly Facebook for venting and that sort of a thing. You talk about a survey from CareerBuilder.com in 2009 that cited several reasons potential candidates were rejected for employment based on how they operated in their Facebook. Posting provocative or inappropriate information. We all know about that. You know,
right.
Naughty pictures.
Mm-hmm.
What else?
Well, even things like tone and style. Now, you know, an equal amount of people will say, I signed on for Facebook so that I could express myself, mm-hmm. and I feel, you know, infringed upon that I have to now do some self-censorship. Perfectly valid. But keep in mind, what you do is going to affect your job search. And so, you know, we would offer that be cognizant of your tone and your style and how you're communicating your messages, because even that, you know, really clear comment, nice clarity, this person can write, this person knows how to post photos to a social a photo sharing site, all valuable. And so so it becomes a representation. It becomes, in essence, a job seeker's calling card based on, you know, how are they communicating in that space? Are they able to navigate that space effectively?
Another thing that it was mentioned in that survey that came up were making discriminatory comments.
Yeah, you know, it's a funny thing. And we see, particularly with Twitter, and Twitter used at events and conferences, this is becoming something that's really panicking people who don't like to speak publicly, as a case in point, because now people are in the audience tweeting away at things that are going wrong up on the stage.
What do they call it, like the back talk or the back? I can't – there's a phrase for that.
Well, there's actually now a new cottage industry that's cropped up of Twitter spotters who are out there in the front row, you know, connecting with the speaker to say, you know, the tweet's a negative, move on.
Oh.
But that aside,
okay.
When we bring it back to job search, mm-hmm. You know, those people who are sending out the negative tweets, who are, you know, that sticks It's in your Twitter stream, and it won't go away. It's on your Facebook page. It's out there somewhere. And even if we delete, do we know that it wasn't already copied and pasted or downloaded and so forth? We don't. So it's about just do the right thing. You know, the same rules of doing the right thing offline apply in this space. And so this veil of anonymity and I can say whatever I'd like, sure you can, but there are implications of all of that. And so everyone should be cognizant.
And we know lying about qualifications, you've already talked about that. But another one that I thought was kind of interesting from that survey was sharing proprietary information about a previous employer. That's a big no-no.
Oh, for sure. And that's the concern that companies have today, which is why, you know, social media policy is so important because, you know, can an employee blog about a company's topic on his or her own time? Can an employee tweet during business hours? I mean, things like this come into play on both sides. A, they can potentially put a company at risk, and they can cost an employee his or her job. And we've seen this happen countless times. They're not connecting the dots that say, oh, I didn't realize I couldn't say that in this space.
614-292-8513. My guest is Sherry Madia. She is a co-author of a book, a new book. It's called The Online Job Search Survival Guide, Everything You Need to Know to Use Social Networking to Land a Job. Now, we're going to take a short break right now, but I'd love to hear from folks out there. If you're listening and you have a question, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We'll be right back. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on WOSU 820 NPR News.
Well, the next fresh air. Our country music week continues with interviews from our archive featuring Willie Nelson, who brought his guitar and performed some of his best-known songs, and the late Waylon Jennings. Join us.
Crazy. Crazy for feeling so blue.
And Fresh Air begins in just about 20 minutes. It starts at noon right here on WOSU 820 NPR News. And at WOSU, listener feedback is very important. We want to hear your thoughts on the conversations we've been having across the radio and web. We're creating an online audience advisory panel, and we're looking for at least 1,000 listeners who can help. So if you have a moment, please go to WOSU.org/survey, and there you can sign up and send us your thoughts. That's WOSU.org/survey. And it's 84 degrees in downtown Columbus at 11:38 this morning. Sunny skies today, a high of 92. Clear skies tonight, a low of 67 degrees. Sunshine for Thursday and a high of 91. And a slight chance of rain Thursday night, a better chance of rain for Friday. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher, and this is WOSU 820 NPR News. The program continues. Thanks for joining us.
Welcome back to All Sides with Ann Fisher. My guest is Sherry Madia. She is the author of a new book on how to use social networking in the job search. It's called The Online Job Search Survival Guide, Everything You Need to Know to Use Social Networking to Land a Job Now. Sherry, we were talking earlier about, you know, you can't lie about things on Facebook or online because it's always going to be there and you need to have some kind of consistency. In one of your chapters in the book, the chapter on targeted employer search, you talk about the need for versions, however. What's the difference?
Right. Well, you know, based on, you know, once you've identified, let's say, your top 10 companies, and we recommend, you know, not more than that because you really want to limit it, and then you want to go deep into the research and the networks. You know, nothing about online job search says it's easy or not work. It is work, but it's smart work. And so you want to, based on the companies that you're really targeting, then modify some things accordingly. So maybe highlight one skill set over another, you know, depending upon the job that you're seeking. So that's okay to do. But again, you know, modifying the facts themselves is what's not okay. And the other important element, I think, for job seekers is that, some people say, well, look, I can't write, I can't blog, there's nothing here for me. Not true. It's a great space for lots of different, when we talk about versioning, also think about versioning the media for your content. So, for example, maybe you're not a writer, but maybe you speak really eloquently. Well, great, try a podcast, try a little series of podcasts. And post those to your Facebook wall, or post those to your, if you have a web page in your name, which is always a smart thing to do, by your URL name, always good to have. But then try a podcast. Maybe you're great at speaking. For some candidates, we hear this, if I could only get the interview, I know I would get the job. I just can't get in the door. Okay, if you're comfortable, then you might want to try a video, a short video, maybe 1 to 3 minutes tops, in which you answer, some standard interview questions and showcase yourself as an ideal candidate. That's a smart approach, too. We don't see a lot of that yet, so the space isn't inundated, but another great tool. And it also says to a recruiter, wow, we've got some technical savvy going on too. That person knows how to make a little video. That's a value add.
614-292-8513. Patrick, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. How you doing, Sherry?
Good, thanks.
Good to hear. Hey, I have a question for you regarding LinkedIn. For instance, I went on there and I noticed that it's primarily targeting people that do have college education. What would you suggest would be a good site for people that do not have college education, as a high school diploma as their highest education, and generally has a pretty scattered employment history?
Well, I guess I look at it a little bit differently, and it might be leaning more toward people with degrees and not degrees, but I would say it's the ideal place, as I first stated, for any industry, for any skill set, level of education, and so forth. Because again, depending on your industry, let's say you're a handyman, case in point, you want those I would recommend. You want people to provide testimonials that say this is a great company. People are looking wherever they are to find where you are. And so you want to ensure that you have a presence in all of the right sites. And I think LinkedIn is not one to be missed. And it's not a site that should be neglected because, I don't think I have the right credentials, or it seems to be more of this and less of that. And one of the nice things that you can also do is start your own group. If you don't see a group for your area of expertise, start one. Start your own community. So another great way to address the issue that you raised is, if you don't find a community in the online space, create one. You can go to a space like Ning.com, is an application that used to be free. I think there's now a nominal fee. Mm-hmm. But you can start your own community there. And again, the goal is to position yourself as an expert, as a helpful expert that people want to engage with and ultimately want to hire.
Okay. All right, great. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call, Patrick. 614-292-8513. And Joe, you're on the air with Sherry Media. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me.
You bet.
I have both a Facebook account and a Twitter account. Both were started primarily to connect with friends. I now recognize the importance of creating an online brand. And while my tweets and my status updates aren't necessarily provocative, I don't know that they're necessarily professional. Would you have any suggestion for how to transition these accounts, or would you suggest rebranding in a more professional space?
Well, there's a couple of different routes that you can take. Some people have tried the anonymous route, where they say, well, I'm just going to tweet under a pseudonym. That doesn't always work because the pseudonym is connected back to the real name. I would say you might want to start a separate Twitter stream that's specific to your profession, you might want to just simply engage differently. So it's not necessarily about working to invite people into your Facebook page, but it's about working yourself into the communities that are going to best suit you. So it might just be as simple as, turning it up a notch in terms of how you're reaching out to communities that already exist.
That makes sense.
Okay, Joe.
Thank you.
Thanks for your call. 614-292-8513. We're taking emails as well. Go to allsides@wosu.org and email us that way, or go to the All Sides with Ann Fisher Facebook page. That's another option. 614-292-8513, though, to talk with Sherry Media. And Chris, you're on the air. Welcome to the show.
Hi, ladies. And I don't mean that in any condescending fashion.
I didn't roll my eyes.
Nor did I.
Okay, very good. What I see here is the possibility that, say, for instance, Facebook has a reason to be, and that reason to be may be undercut by the kind of self-restrictive moves a person may make because they're not bound to friend someone who's going to send the odd, or we'll just say indecorous posting to your wall, and you don't want some third party to see it or something like that. Or you have to tell all the people that you might friend, you know, don't send me anything that's weird or say something that's out of line because I may have people looking at my Facebook page, you know, so on and so forth. Do you see that being essentially problematic? I mean, considering that Facebook does have a reason for existing, I mean, we kind of sometimes are too busy to spend time with our friends. And to the extent that we don't have that time, we can do some things online and enjoy ourselves. But if we have to be self-restrictive because we're looking for a job or we're worried about somebody seeing a stream, then we don't get the enjoyment out of it that may have been originally intended. Do you have anything to say about that?
I sure do, yeah. In fact, you know, when we look at the history of the world of social media, for starters, it's only 6 years old, right? And so it's very, very new. And it's been, we've been through rapid iterations of these platforms, and we haven't landed yet. So there's ongoing dilemma for, you know, how do we mitigate our personal space and our professional space, and how do we make them work harmoniously? And I don't think that we've solved that yet. But, you know, people ask me all the time, well, is Facebook really going to continue to stay around if people feel compromised in that space or feel like it's not working? Is it going to go away? And likewise with Twitter, is that going to be here a year from now? And it's really about, you know, my answer is always it depends on the value that businesses, that individuals continue to pour into these platforms and continue to find. So there's never an easy answer. It's about choices. You know, in some cases, it might be that you create a fan page specifically that you drive your professional contacts to. So there are lots of ways to be able to post the way that you want to for the most part and also maintain some professional uses for it. But it's about choices, ultimately about choices, and, you know, keeping in mind that what you're posting out there is public space, and you should always be comfortable that, you know, you're not really – it doesn't really matter who's going to see it. We say use the mom test, and it's a valuable one. If you don't want your mom to see it, maybe you shouldn't post it.
You know, at this point, I do have to say that this does relate to a story I did hear on NPR yesterday or the day before about how people behave when they consider that someone else is watching what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I that may be of greater importance, too. Anyway, thanks very much.
Thank you. Take care, Chris. You know, Sherry, I had a young relative. You know, they do crazy, wild and crazy things. Happens to have the same last name as me. And she made some untoward comments on Facebook. I think is maybe she liked something. You know, you can like a group or something like that. And it was a little coarse. And I wrote her a private message and said, you know,
you when you go on the my Facebook page, you know, that post's onto mine, and it's not, you know, it's not something that, you know, I want to be identified with. And when we have the same last name, it reflects badly on me. And she wrote back, sorry, you know. And I don't know if she's not posting. She's cut me out of her. I'm off her list.
Unfriended you.
Or maybe she cleaned up her act. I mean, I tried to be as kind as possible and not pass too much judgment, because there are different – there is that different – the age difference and the different standards. And, you know, I don't want to get into that. But, yeah, I mean, my response to him on that score was, yeah, if I think somebody's doing something really, you know, that's doesn't reflect well on me, I wouldn't want them on my Facebook page.
Right. And you know, the other side of that, too, is that, you know, we can only control what we can control.
Right.
And, you know, certainly a recruiter who also likely has a Facebook page with young relatives who post inappropriate things, right? Mm-hmm. We all understand that.
Right.
But it's a matter of shaping the things and keeping in mind, this is about when we're using these tools for job search, tremendous opportunity to position yourself. And it might mean, okay, I'm going to stop going wild with, you know, crazy posts and things for a while, or I'm going to stop entirely because the job search is more important right now. So, and again, is Facebook the primary tool that we're talking about here? Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have a Facebook space that you cherish and which you can really post wildly and with irreverence, and you feel strongly about that, that's the choice that you've made. And so look elsewhere. You know, again, engage in other people's networks. Start blogging. Go to where mm-hmm. they are. Don't necessarily drive them to where you don't want them to be.
614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. My guest is Sherry Madia. She is a co-author of a book called The Online Job Search Survival Guide, Everything You Need to Know to Use Social Networking to Land a Job Now. We have an email from Angelo. Writes, just a quick question. How does one handle a job search using social media if one is skilled in multiple disciplines? For example, if one has had a career in engineering management, and technology in general. The traditional ways were to tailor your resumes to a particular area and face-to-face networking. Is it possible to do this with the new social networking tools?
For sure. And again, it's about which elements you highlight and which you tone down. So absolutely, you'll want to first prioritize which areas are most important to you, and you'll want to apply, obviously, the majority of your efforts in that regard. But certainly, it's completely acceptable, and people understand that you're turning some things up and you're turning some things down based on the area or the industry. But you should, again, ensure that the core, the essence of your personal brand remains the same, because this is, you know, we're looking for credibility. We're looking for accountability. We're looking for trustworthiness. Is this person going to make a great candidate and a great employee? And so that's the more important element in all of this. And, you know, you want to make sure that what you're putting out, again, is the same regardless of how they find you. So you're planting content seeds throughout ideal networks, and you're not sure who's going to find you through which door. So you just want to make sure that you've created something that's sound and, again, that you can sustain. So when you go to the interview, be certain that you will be the same person that you've put forth in your video and your podcast and your online resume. All of these things should align.
Sherry, you so much has changed just in the last year with Facebook and Twitter, and I don't know about LinkedIn, but things change fast in this online world. And I was wondering when you started writing the book, and how did you manage to feel like it was going to be fresh and up to date when it came out of off the printing press?
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of what we write about in all of our books on social media is about strategy, and it's about underlying approach. Because to your point, things, you know, the iterations and the technologies change weekly, daily, right? You go on one, mm-hmm. You know, the Twitter application changes. So we didn't really focus on those tactics because they continue to change. They'll continue to change and evolve. But, you know, one of the principles underlying the online job search is about, look, this is a change of mindset for job seekers. You know, the job environment is not what it was, and it will never be the way it was again, where, you know, someone can hope to work for a company throughout, you know, one company throughout his or her career. Those days are simply gone, and so everyone needs to approach this with elements that are sustainable. So I go back to the point of, you know, job seekers should not view this as a one-time exercise where they're just doing what they need to do to get a job, and then they turn it off. This is about ongoing, 24/7, all the time, building out your network. So as soon as you get you land your next job, you want to start thinking about how are you positioned this for the next job, and how do you stay engaged? Because the last thing you want to do is, you know, engage in communities and build out your personal brand and your presence, and people start to respect you as an expert. And once you get the job, you're gone. That leaves people with a bad taste in their mouth about you, and you'll want to continue with that network, right? It's not, it's a building block, and it's a commitment. So in that sense, it's also exciting because this is not a futile exercise. It's an exercise in laying a foundation that you'll need through the entirety of your career.
We have an email, I think, that kind of goes to what you're getting at. They write, can there be a disadvantage to too much online presence? Suppose you have an online presence and you use it to get a job and you get the job. Then what tolerance will your employer have for the time you spend maintaining that online presence? And do you see this ability as a job skill, for example, the ability to promote yourself as an agent of some employer?
Yeah, well,
employees. Couple questions there.
Yeah, so employees and new hires should always ask, not on the interview, but you know, once you're through your orientation period, you should inquire, does the company have a social media policy? Hopefully they will. Many companies still do not. But get a sense up front. Is it okay if I, you know, tweet during the day, during work hours, if I, you know, standard company policy that companies need to address so that you don't find yourself in the situation of saying, well, I didn't know I couldn't tweet 17 times a day between the hours of 9 to 5. But again, keeping in mind from a company's perspective, you're putting them at risk. If all of my employees are tweeting up a storm throughout the workday and they're not the social media point person, then I might have some time management issues on my hand and I might be seen as an ineffective leader. And so companies have a stake in this. Employees, you know, again, should utilize it like anything else. This becomes a lesson in, you know, surfing the web. Can I do that all day during the workday? Probably not. So the same rules apply.
Sherry Media, I want to thank you for being on the show today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Sherry Media, she's co-author of the Online Job Search Survival Guide, Everything You Need to Know to Use Social Networking to Land a Job Now. Before we move on, I just want to invite everybody personally to go to WOSU.org/survey. We are interested in your insights about the programming and me particularly about All Sides with Ann Fisher. So if you're interested in the program and you have some ideas you want to share, pros and cons, please go to WOSU.org/survey and let us know what you think. All Sides with Ann Fisher doesn't happen on its own. I don't do it all by myself, believe it or not. Alan DeCenzo is the composer of our theme music. The All Sides staff includes producer Linda Taylor, associate producer Amy Jurovich, student production assistant Tyler Adams, WOSU radio intern Leticia Wiggins, radio operations director Kevin Petrilla, and senior broadcast technician Eric French. Thanks to all of you for making the show happen every day. This is listener-supported WOSU and WOSU HD 820 Columbus and streaming on the web at WOSU.org, WOSU 820, NPR News.